Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The introit for this day references the eyes. Oculi, my eyes are ever toward the Lord. And yet the Old Testament reading and the gospel reference the ears. And even the epistle references words, speaking, and making a connection with the ears, the function of the ears, namely hearing. Perhaps this Sunday should bear the Latin name auri, my ears. If we use Psalm 40, verse 6, sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire, mine ears hast thou opened. Hearing ears. Our gospel reading presents a man who had a demon that had made him mute. The demon kept him from hearing God's word. Jesus cast out that demon so this man could hear the good news of forgiveness. And yet it became an occasion for the blasphemous accusation that Jesus was one of Satan's agents. Beelzebul is another name for Satan. Literally, it means Lord of the Flies. Some of you may remember having read that book by William Golding with that title, The Lord of the Flies. It's a fine book, which shows how evil lies deep within all the sons of Adam, and I think presents the doctrine of original sin in a rather unique manner. The healing of this mute demoniac brought a severe reaction. Jesus had joined up with the demons, they said. And Jesus countered by asking how their own exorcists had succeeded. They had been regarded as holy men who were on God's side. So Jesus argued that they couldn't have it both ways. Either Jesus is who he says he is, the Son of God, and that the kingdom of God had come, or he wasn't. By using the phrase, the finger of God, Jesus was connecting his work to the mighty acts of God done through Moses in bringing the plagues on Egypt. Jesus is that strong man who is in the process of binding Satan and freeing mankind from slavery. Jesus proclaimed himself that strong man who is driving out the evil one. He was disarming the evil one. He was taking his power away. This would culminate in his death on the cross when Christ cried out triumphantly, "It is finished." And it was proven by his mighty resurrection from the dead. Jesus listened to his Father and spoke his Father's words to the world. Christ has bound Satan and his legions and has taken away his spoil. You now belong to Christ through holy baptism. He nourishes and feeds you with his word and sacrament. He protects your soul's life. Spiritually speaking, there are no free agents in this world. Either one is a captive to Satan or one is captive to God. Since Adam, we have all been born in the bondage of Satan. One simply doesn't decide to switch sides. Slaves don't free themselves, and so the first thing that is done at a Lutheran baptism is the exorcism, the casting out of Satan. And then the word that Jesus spoke to the deaf man, Ephatha, be opened, is spoken so that the Holy Spirit can enter and bring the word about Christ to the sinner. Mind you, one doesn't decide this for himself. Only the strong one, Christ, frees us and gives us the spiritual capacity to hear and believe his word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, Paul writes. So silencing the word of God is demonic. Jesus explains that our battle with Satan is a never-ending conflict in this life. Let no one deceive you with empty words, writes Paul in our epistle. What you hear is important because that influences your thinking and your actions. Empty words are those without any truth in them, hollow words, and defenses for sin. And such words placed into your ears are meant to lead you away from God's truth, plainly spoken. Shutting one's ears to the truth keeps Christ away. Distorting the truth pulls people away from the faith. A failed presidential candidate from a city in Indiana often distorted God's truth in order to justify his sinful lifestyle. That's the way it goes for those who follow a subtle line. But there are those who will use a direct frontal attack. Those who heard Jeremiah's call to repentance responded, "You shall die." Jeremiah responded by warning them of God's judgment because of the words that he had spoken into their ears. They had heard the word of God, but they did not keep it. They did not believe it. When Stephen made a clear confession of Christ, his hearers were enraged, and Luke says they began shouting and stopping their ears because they didn't want to hear the truth of God. And so it goes in our day. Do not deceive yourselves as to the source of all false doctrine and persecution of the truth. It is not flesh and blood, as Paul warns us, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Luther well describes Satan in words that you know well. The old evil foe now means deadly woe, deep guile and great might are his dread arms in fight. On earth is not his equal. Let those last words sink in. On earth is not his equal. Which is why we should never sing just the first stanza of that hymn and put it away. Satan and his demons have great power and seek to snatch the word of God from you. And if he cannot do that, he will poison it and subvert it, trying to empty the words of their truth. You are not toying with a human being like yourself, but with the most powerful force on earth. We may picture Satan as a cartoon figure, but he is horrific beyond description. He is no laughing matter. Paul admonishes you to walk as the children of life, light, to reject the lies of Satan, and to cling to Christ's word alone. Paul's catalog of sins is meant to warn you about Satan's lies, that one can be a Christian and can continue to participate in and practice these sins of darkness. It is not enough simply to attend the divine service, as important as that is, and then consider our work or our duty done. In response to the woman who praised Mary for being the mother of Christ, Jesus pointed to the real blessing, hearing and keeping the word of God. Those who hear and keep God's word are more blessed than Mary. In holy baptism, Christ claimed you as his own. He put his name on you and made you a member of his flock, which he has sworn to protect and defend. You have the word of God implanted in you in your baptism. And yet the battle continues. Especially the battle rages on. Nature abhors a vacuum. An empty space with no air in it wants to be filled. You are not to be empty, but you are to fill yourself with God's word purely taught and spoken, because you are locked in a death struggle with Satan. True blessedness consists in remaining in the word, living by the word alone. Mere lip service simply isn't enough. Using the word of God creates the blessings it describes. By using the word of God, your faith is nourished. But when one stops using the word, one's faith wilts and can die. One opens the door for evil spirits to return and again take up residence. To keep the word of God implies the same as believing it, guarding it, living by it, living in it. Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. In other words, good works follow faith in God's word. It means guarding all that is good and right and true, imitating in Christ in word and action. That's what it means to keep the word of truth. We guard and protect that which is most precious to us, and that should be the word of truth. Paul goes on to say in chapter 6 that we are to compare our lives as a daily battle against the evil one. We put on the armor of God. Now, most all of those pieces are defensive in nature, but one is offensive, the sword of the Spirit. God, the Holy Spirit, is the author of his word, and having and using his word brings blessing. Blessed, rather, are those who hear the word of God and keep it. One of you asked me if those words were written on this chancel arch at one time, and they were. They were written in gold leaf. Those are good words to remember, because true blessedness is conveyed through God's word. In our ongoing battle with the old evil foe, Luther also reminds us that Christ stands by our side upon the plain with his good gifts and spirit. Our victory has been won. The kingdom ours remaineth. In hearing and keeping his word, you are truly blessed. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus.